Earlier this week, NPR told the quietly moving story of the dying days of a quite ordinary woman from Chicago. Patricia was not famous in any way at all. Her life was no more remarkable than yours or mine. The only thing that made her death noteworthy was the person telling the story, who happened to be her son, the NPR broadcaster Scott Simon, and who happened to capture the poignancy and humanity of his mother's death through his Twitter account. Simon's undying devotion to his mother comes through loud and clear, as does the strong emotional bond between mother and son right up to her final breath. But along with all that came the words of a wise woman seeking to make sense of her life and her dying, seeking to sum up her life journey and her life learnings on earth. Reach out, she says at one point to her son, reach out to someone who seems lonely today. Another, take time with people in their 80s. They have looked across the street at death for over a decade, and they know what's really important in life. And this last one, O Earth, you're too beautiful for anyone to realize. How different that is from the rich farmer Jesus tells us about, whose only concern right up to his final breath is looking out for and taking care of number one, himself. He may not be a bad or evil man, but God calls him something worse, you fool. God says to him, hearkening back to the Psalms, where the fool says in his or her heart, there is no God, there's only me. So the farmer is a fool, not because he has an inflated and erroneous sense of his life expectancy, but because he has an inflated and erroneous sense of himself. Not because he is ignorant of or blind to the possibilities and requirements of the moment, but because he is ignorant of and blind to the bigger picture, the possibilities that lie beyond himself and his own needs. The farmer's definition of success, looking out only for himself, his own needs, his own security, his own wants, does not match God's definition of success that starts with acknowledging our lifelong dependence on God and our interdependence with all humanity. Our good luck and our good fortune, like the farmer's, are not meant to remove us from the burdens of life, but to be blessings shared freely with others. To put it another way, success in life is not determined by how cushy or easy life becomes for us personally, but how we allow our lives to be blessings for others. Scott Simon's mother knew the beauty and majesty of our interconnectedness. Do we? By what standard do you measure success or failure in your life? By personal wealth and freedom? By physical health or strength or beauty? By financial security? By the absence of pain or struggle or hardship? Appealing as those may be, Jesus reminds us that they are utterly useless or worthless when we come to the end of our lives. Again and again, he invites us to be converted, to exchange the fleeting values and glory of this world for the riches and treasures of God that never fade or erode or corrode. The great preacher Henry Emerson Fosdick expressed it this way, God of grace and God of glory, Bend our pride to thy control. Shame our wanton selfish gladness, rich in things and poor in soul. Save us from weak resignation to the evils we deplore. Let the search for thy salvation be our glory evermore. Grant us wisdom. Grant us courage, lest we miss thy kingdom's goal. Lest we miss thy kingdom's goal. Now, just for a moment, let's move the conversation from somewhere out there to right here where it matters. How big a barn do I need to feel content? How big or how fancy a house do I really need? How big or how fancy a car do I need? How big a savings account or investment portfolio or insurance policy or retirement fund do I really, really need? These questions are not meant to make me feel guilty. Rather, they are meant to make me think before it's too late, before the clock runs out, and I miss the opportunity to live as freely and fully as Jesus desires for me. Before I spend my life on things that really don't matter all that much in the end. What Jesus wants for me and for all of us is that we not waste our lives on idle or passing fancies, but that we spend them fully on that which brings lasting, even eternal joy and well-being to ourselves and to the world. And important as that is for each of us personally, it's also relevant and important for our life together as a congregation. More and more, it's becoming clear to me that this church is not solely defined by its rich past or by the beauty of this building, but by the beliefs and values and lifestyle we choose to embrace and live out every day. We do have a rich heritage, and we do have a marvelous sanctuary and building. But if all we want to do is polish our legacy, then we have more than one foot in the grave already. Jesus invites us again and again and again to see all those as merely add-ons to real life, the real life that consists of putting our trust completely in God, and then using our life for the benefit of the world around us. It is not an easy thing to do. The challenge is not easy to meet. This past Thursday, many of us gathered in this sanctuary with friends from around the state who were here for a prayer vigil as one United Methodist pastor met upstairs with our bishop to begin a conversation around what should become of his decision to marry persons of the same gender. In the course of that afternoon, I saw this congregation at its finest, with hospitality extended through welcome and greeting and hugs and food provided for those strangers who had come from afar to be here specifically that day for that purpose. And we did the unthinkable. We opened the doors like we do on Sunday morning. The rest of the week, if you don't know this, the rest of the week the doors are locked. You can get into Fort Knox easier than you can get into this building. And we are beginning to think as a congregation, what's the message that we offer to the world when we close ourselves off 5 or 6 days of the week and give folks limited access to the love and the joy and the faith and hope and blessings that are rooted in this congregation. Jesus speaks to each of us and to all of us together this day, inviting us to look carefully at what it is that we define as our success, what it is that we decide is worth holding on to, what it is that we are willing to do without in order that we might have more time, more freedom, more opportunity to live as freely and as joyfully and as fully as we know by the grace of God.